And today is New Year's Eve. Tomorrow is New Year's Day, 2017. And it is clearly, you know, another year. And I think for some of us, it's quite clearly the beginning of a new era. The life that proceeds from here on in is not the life we're used to. It really is going to be a different time. It's been remarkable for me watching the shake-up in the collective consciousness. People really questioning some of the basic foundations of their lives and their world that they live in. Sort of watching things unfold in disbelief. Sort of an interesting word, disbelief. The failure in some ways to believe in what was before. In a certain sense, we in America have been living in a very unusual and in a way very blessed time. A time of perpetual peace for us on the homeland. A time of surprising comfort. We were living in a world that was essentially somewhat, if not well, educated. People were basically able to support themselves. We're not talking about everyone, but most people. A certain calm pervaded, a certain centrist environment that was secure. And we kind of knew what things were. We sort of knew the parameters. We knew when things moved to an extreme. We knew when they were holding together. And there's something very comforting in that. It's also a little bit adolescent. I had my sister-in-law's granddaughter visiting this last week. Wonderful, wonderful person named Rachel. And the thing I really loved about Rachel was how completely assured she was of what the world was. She knew the rules. She's in a sorority, she knows the sorority rules, she knows how to bend the rules, she knows how to get around things, she knows how to get what she wants and what she needs, and she just has a clear sense of things. And I look at her and I go, you know, that's not how it really works. But I can't tell her that, because she's so comfortable in knowing how things are. And I remember being the same person. I remember my college years, my early life, having a sense that this is how it works. And unless that is blown apart by some event, we sort of move through life thinking we have a picture of what it is. And then over the course of history, in our own personal lives or the life of the human race, things happen that destabilize everything you think you know, everything you have believed in, everything that you thought to be true. And we have been so lucky not to have had any of those experiences, really, not in the way that it impinged upon us directly. And now that seems to have changed. Beginning this year, early in this year, the governance of the world we live in has fallen into the realm of what I can only think of in a way as sort of ancient Rome, you know, the Neros and the Caligulas of that world, you know, who appointed horses to the Senate and who lived according to their own kind of strange, distorted will and desire. And we're not quite there yet. I don't say that we're getting there. I'm not saying that that's the absolute trajectory. But I am saying that the time we lived in is past. And something new is happening. And we have to figure out personally, individually, what to do. How to be in all of this. And you can listen to teachers like me or elsewhere give you all the guidance and advice that they can offer. But all I can tell you from what I am learning during all of this is that the only advice and the only guidance that will be really meaningful will come from within you. You can try to assemble thoughts and ideas and concepts from other people. You can go to old belief systems and religious and spiritual truths that you've learned in the past, and you can try to use those as part of the governing system for your own inner personal life. But what's going on for me, which has been really extraordinary, really, is that none of those governing principles or truths are essentially holding up. That, in a sense, the basic foundational stories and narratives of our life, the structures of our lives, are imploding. And it is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's a hard thing. It's hard, and it will be incredibly demanding, because everyone will struggle in their own way to find a new equilibrium, a new balance in their life. And you can look to a million different avenues of balance out there that you think will be the thing that will sustain you and that will carry you through, whether it's your religion or philosophy or meditation life. You know, whatever it is you're choosing to have as a way of moving forward, you are going to be the person who chooses that. And in the end, really, what defines you and defines all of us more than anything else is this unbelievable power of choice. The ability to choose how to take the next step, how to move forward in our lives. The spiritual perspective is pretty powerful. It really calls upon us in a very deep way to accept what is. Accept life as it unfolds. And there's some very real value in that. That you can look at what is as thy will be done. That this is all unfolding as it should be, as it must, as it is inevitable, as an expression of the infinite and the wisdom of the universe. And there is some solace in that. I've often talked about the old Zen story of the Zen monk whose basic tenet of spiritual life is aso, aso. So all of these horrible things and good things happen to him, and his response to every one of them is aso, aso. So that when something terrible comes, he goes aso. When something wonderful comes, he goes, ah, so. He doesn't lurch on one or run from the other. He just accepts. That's a wonderful teaching. It's a wonderful teaching. And it may be the teaching that works for you in the moment. But it's not the only teaching. There are also teachings that the universe is a realm of exquisite consciousness, and that we are the observers of what unfolds. We sit and watch within the realm of creative materialization, the arising of a world that is both of us and separate from us, of which we are part of and which we are transcendent. And that awareness that we are one with all there is and yet above it can be very, very embracing as a way of looking at the world. We all have ideas of what is right and what is wrong, of what is good and bad, good or evil. We all have ideas about what all of this is or can be or should be. We have moral tenets about how to behave in the world. And all that's being challenged. It's really fascinating. The fundamentals of our daily life are being upended by people who are behaving completely differently and kind of running the show, at least for now. And who are we in this? What do we do with this? How do we respond to all of this? Aso? Aso? That's fair. Why not? Do we decide to take arms against the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune? Do we decide to take action? Some of us may in fact be motivated to do that. Is that the right thing or the wrong thing? I don't know that judgment can be made. But I think you have to listen to your own guidance system inside to know how you interact with the world, how you choose to go forward. Again, the key word is choice. You have to make a choice. And what that really does is throws you into this extraordinary conundrum. And it's the most wonderful conundrum on some levels from a spiritual perspective, is who am I that makes this choice? Who am I that decides how to interact with the incredible dynamic of human experience? For the longest time, we didn't have to deal with that. Our lives were pretty much a blessed affair. We kind of knew where we were headed going in. We knew that we had a kind of known environment to live in. We had a kind of very sweet ride. I mean, yes, it was filled with problems, you know, the life problems. Things happen, stuff goes on, you know, we have tragedies that occur, but mostly we had blessed lives. We got to turn on the news and see people who didn't have blessed lives, but then we could turn off the news. You know, that was a real big deal. It's been really interesting to me. You know, when I was little and we would go to the movies, we had newsreels. And newsreels were these huge screens with World War II blasting into our lives. And the H-bomb. And all of these things blasting into our lives. And I looked at all of that and went, this is huge. As I got older, the world started to get smaller, and suddenly the war in Vietnam was on a television screen this big. It didn't have the same impact. It was in the background. I could go click, gone. The world was just different. And nowadays, it's on screens this big, in our hands, and it's there all the time. And we can move it around and pick the stuff we want to know and get rid of the stuff we don't want to know. It's a really fascinating period that we have entered. And each one of us is going to have to make sense of it in our own terms. We have to decide how we embrace what is. So here's where meditation comes in. If you can find the still point of your life in the extraordinary noise and insistence of the world around you, if you can find a place within that stops everything, that stops the dynamics of the world raging around you, and allows you for a moment to get into a place of extraordinary, sweet acceptance, sweet, spacious awareness, you have an alternative to the noise of the world around you. You have another way to look at what's happening from a place of clarity rather than from a place of fear or hysteria or drama. You get to sit back and go, aha, or asso. The journey into the still point in your life, into your inside being, is to know that you have access to something that is infinite and eternal. And that infinite reality, that eternal reality that is somehow accessible through your deepest inner being, gives perspective to the larger picture that we have all found ourselves stepping into. This eternal, transcendent vastness of being allows for everything to happen. It allows for all that can take place to take place. And it is a very deeply, profoundly comforting and allowing space. It is a place of repose and assurance and love and kindness and compassion and understanding. It embraces everything and everyone. And it is a gift to every human being who chooses to go there. And you have a choice. You have a choice. You can choose to make that journey or to get waylaid by the drama around you. I have been sitting in stillness and going deeper and deeper into it on a daily basis and looking for some ultimate resolution to how to deal with the darkness that I feel surrounding so much of the life that I've known. And every so often, the darkness announces itself as infinite and the ultimate truth. Every so often, darkness and even evil presents itself as the final statement, because clearly everything ends in death as we know it. The universe is basically a mass of darkness with punctuations of light. And there is a battle that I have begun to enter into between the darkness and the light. And all of the religious and spiritual principles that I have ever embraced all promise that light prevails, or luminosity, or a vast, eternal embrace of love is the final truth. And I have to say, part of me is struggling with that. It's the best Hollywood ending. The best Hollywood ending is it all ends with this, and they lived happily ever after. And I am not persuaded at this point in time that that is true. And I know that people who come to this particular practice, or any meditation practice, or any spiritual or religious practice, want some affirmation of that. You want someone to tell you this is what it is, to prove to you that in the end it all ends in infinite light and bliss. And that may in fact be true. It may be true. But for the first time ever, in my spiritual journey, I don't know it to be true. I believe it to be true. My inner being, when I go deep inside, is so full of love, and that love is so mirrored in my experience of the world around me. I love my grandchildren, I love my children, my wife, and all of you. And that comes from somewhere. It is such an exquisite, joyful connection. I do not know where love comes from. I don't know how love came into being in the universe. I've talked about this a lot, but how did we go from inert matter, fire and rock and metal, into love? How did that happen? You know, the mystery of all of this is so profound and so unendingly dynamic. And the mystery either has a capital M or a tiny little m, but it is mystery. In the end, it is all mystery. And in the end, we don't know the answer. In the end, we don't know if it ends in light or darkness. We don't know. We don't even know if it ends. We don't know if it ends. We don't know anything, and we want to. And all the best teachings and the mythologies and the narratives of our life on this planet have given us something we think of as happy endings. Promises of something in the future. But it's just stories, guys. It's just stuff we believe in because we want to believe in it. There's nothing wrong with that. What I'm trying to get at, and it's been a fundamental experience for me in the last months because I have felt the world so upended and shattered on so many levels. It's a choice. It's a choice. What do you want it to be? Do you want it to be darkness or light? Good or evil? Fear or love? What do you want it to be? What do you choose for it to be? And all I can tell you is, whatever that choice is, make it a muscular choice. Not a casual, tepid little choice. Oh, I would like it to be light. Oh, I think we all end in darkness. That's not it. It has to be foundational, fundamental, this is what I believe. And then you have to live from that space. You have to live from what you believe and what you choose to be what life is, because that's the fundamental governing principle of the world. And your belief system, if it is not formed, you will be like an amoeba moving just in every direction at any given moment. Every new little email will send you going this direction or that direction. Every new, you know, text message will throw you for a loop. You can't really live like that. You have to find the core elemental truth of your being. And since you don't know truth, choose a truth. Choose a truth. And I will vote for and promote the truth of light and love and kindness and compassion and hope and giving and allowing and serving. All of these qualities, I will vote for that. I will try to live for that. And I will do it not knowing if that's true. If in the end it's just, I mean, there's very real darkness as a possibility. We've seen it mirrored in the way the world functions. So people suffer, terrible things happen. But also beauty happens, also love happens, also goodness happens. All I can tell you, you have to come down on some end of that equation. Where do you want this to be? How do you want it to be? How do you want to live? And now that we're entering a new era, your vote internally, your choice internally, will dictate how your life and perhaps the life of those around you will move forward. This is not a casual time. This is not a time for letting other people take care of it. You really have to figure it out for yourself. This is called, it's a time to be grown up. Be a grown-up. We've been so coddled in our culture, so given a kind of ease of being in America over the last 50 years or so. We really haven't learned the lessons of what it means to be human beings who in the world really have to struggle and suffer. Not, I don't mean this collectively, because clearly there are people who have had to grow up in a very real way through even in American culture. You know, this has not been, life is not easy. It's not easy. But at this moment in time, we have an opportunity to put our spiritual ideals and practice into play, to not just make it something we talk about, not just make it a Sunday morning routine, not just a philosophy that you can sort of go into on occasion, not something that you use on the days where you're having a headache, where you need to have some kind of something to carry you through. This is something that now has to be a basic element of your daily life. And all I can do is try to stimulate you or inspire you or direct you into taking charge of your choices, making a commitment internally to going deep, to working hard, to establishing a foundation that you can function from and help other people function from in the world. If you can be a solid reference point for people, if you can be someone that people can go to be loved and supported and nurtured, if you can be a giving force, a force of light, a force of kindness in the world, that would be an extraordinary thing. That's real spiritual work. Now you may find yourself sitting down going, "Asso, asso, asso," a lot. This is what it is, this is what it is, it's okay, okay, okay. Even as tumultuously strange things go on, you know, that's all very possible. I don't know where it's all going to go. I have no idea. None of us do. But whatever it is, wherever things go, this is the time to take charge. This is the time to find your voice. This is the time to find your inner true nature. Not to join a belief system that somebody else is promulgating in front of you. To find your version of that, your truth. You know, it's really important. And if you do it, you will find that you have created for yourself a means in which to live through very turbulent times. And without it, you know what turbulence does to people. It scatters them to the winds, it throws them into the rocks on the shore. You know, turbulence is not an easy time to live through. It's very hard. And the anchor that one can use is a spiritual anchor to go deep, hold true to the force of the deep bottom part of your being, which is whatever you choose. But if you choose love, it'll be a very strong anchoring force. If you say it's all meaningless and dark and terrible, go there. Go there. Go into not knowing. Go into not knowing and still figure out, how do I take another step? How do I live not knowing? It's powerful. It's really powerful to take a step not knowing that the earth will be solid beneath your next step. How do you do that? That's the real secret of being human. The real truth of being human is none of us know, none of us have ever known. We create a false reality that we think gives us truth, and it falls away. What lasts when it all falls away? What is left? That's up to you to figure out. Not to listen to me telling you or anybody else telling you. You figure it out. This is the time to do it. This is a very important call to arms, if you will. Take charge or not. Your call. So I've said this now in about 400 different ways. I will try to leave you with this idea that, you know, your spiritual life is your life. And you are either going to own it or not. I would encourage you to own it. The end. Any questions?
Okay.
Oops. I have a question. And maybe you've already answered this. I kind of found an answer, but I was thinking a lot about the suffering of my family members and getting kind of wrapped up in their suffering and being irritated by their suffering. But I kind of found a reservoir to kind of love them, even if I don't have the answers, and even if it irritates me that they're suffering because it reminds me of my undigested suffering or whatever. So I was just going to ask you for some comment on that experience of being irritated by other people's suffering.
Well, interesting. Being irritated by other people's suffering. Here's kind of what happens spiritually. If you're irritated, it's a signal to you that there's a part of you that's still separate from everyone and everything. The part of you that suffers, the part of you that gets angry, the part of you that has private personal desires is at the very source of your own suffering. Because real awakening, if you will, begins to leave the separate you apart, away from it. It leaves you free of that part of your being. And it's hard to get to that. But what happens when you feel yourself suffering, even for other people's suffering, or feel irritants at all, it's like a little signal to your head, this is what has to be worked on in yourself. This is the part to be attended to. This is the part of you that's still separate, that still thinks of itself as other. If you can start to dissolve that component, you will start to feel greater and greater freedom of being. What happens in the end, though, and I have to tell you, this is kind of unexpected, your own private irritation starts to go away, but you begin instead to experience the suffering of others as your own. So you don't get free of it, you don't find it irritating, you become wildly, unbearably almost compassionate for the suffering of everyone. And that's, but it's also, if you get to that place, you do have this well of being that can rise up and comfort. In the worst of the worst moments, it still puts a hand on their shoulder and comforts. That's very important. That's a spiritual state of being. It's an arrival at something that is transcendent, because most people, when their own suffering or someone else's suffering comes into play, they take it personally and they get tight and angry and hostile. What's going on? When you're really spiritually awake, you will be the first one there to comfort. Because it's the natural state of things. Okay? Jen?
You know, given that so many people are floundering at this particular moment and struggling to find how they can confront all the seeming chaos, to me anyway, in my humble feeling is that, can one sustain that inner glow and love and compassion, but at the same time I feel like it behooves every citizen to find some way that they can actively engage in the world to confront, you know, evil or chaos or inhumanity or, you know, austerity and unfairness and social injustice. That it's almost an era when, because not to do anything active is almost like giving free rein to it.
I totally understand your passion. And I think that that can arise in people. You know, it's like if you feel a call to action, act. If you don't feel a call to action, social action, you will have other action to perform, which may be much closer to home. You know, for you, you may want to go on a picket line or marching or do something out there or donate money or donate time to various organizations. But don't do it and not take care of Ashkar. Because that's the first call to action. And so many people are called to action to avoid the thing that's right in front of them. And that's problematic. You know, you have to do what's there, what's right there, and then you can move beyond it. Some people are not called to action, and they're not necessarily bad people for that. You know, if they can hold the home fires burning, you know, and keep everything, you know, comfortable for the people around them, that's a huge reaffirmation of possible human sort of compassion and love. So I think we all have to figure out what our thing is. You will know from your own inner nature what you're led to. If you are led to, you know, whatever, I mean, there's so much out there that can be done. I mean, the simple idea is that there are people who are hungry, and there are people who need to be fed, and there are people who are going to have real needs out there that probably are not going to be met socially or through the governmental process, that we can be helpful to. There's something wonderful and kind about that. And if you find yourself drawn to that, absolutely, that's an important consideration. But don't judge yourself positively because you do that, and other people negatively because they don't, because that will just leave you in your own conundrum, you know, of being, you know, struck by your own sort of polarities. What you need to do is allow people to do what they do. Don't demand that they act in accord with your vision. Let them act in accord with their own vision and find their own path. You do what you need to do, period. And don't look at it as making you better than or lesser than. It's just you're following your nature. And we all have different natures. But I think in the end, you will find the opportunity very much in the years to come now to be good to one another. Treat your neighbor as yourself. Okay.
I guess it's not a question, it's more of a thought that came to me while you were talking now in the discussions, that treat your neighbor as yourself, or love thy neighbor as thyself. It starts with yourself. And when you were saying that now and all this mess that's coming to this world, to the universe, that we each will it would be good if we would each find the way we react, our reaction, our anticipation of this. My immediate thought was, well, I have to do this first for myself. I mean, in my every daily life, every minute, when things, how do I react to this and how do I react to this? When something aggravates me, how do I react? The child's sick, how do I react? And my feeling was, you know, this is too big for me. I have to do it first for myself and then perhaps. But then doing it for myself also is doing it for the universe, because it's sending out.
There's great wisdom in what you're saying, you know, because so many people want to go out there and save the world, but they are total chaos inside. They're saving the world would just spread chaos that way. You really have to go inside. And what does that mean? Well, again, to go inside is a meditative act, or maybe a prayerful act, however you want to look at it. But there's something that goes deep inside, and the reward, I hate to use that word, but the discovery of going deep inside is a well of comfort and beauty and truth and reality that is inexpressible on some level. And out of that space, you can function in the world. I don't know how much you can do. You can go out there and preach to the masses, or you can just share with the family, whatever it is. But let whatever comes through you find its way into the world around you.
It happens.
That's true.
I mean,
that's
the
true.
That's
exactly right. The idea of doing makes it a personal cognitive act. The opening to the what is inside flows out all by itself, and there's nothing to be done other than to don't obstruct it. Just let it flow. You know, we all have that capacity, but this is a time where, like I'm trying to say to you, you know, a lot of people have been sitting back, you know, kind of, let other people do it. This is not a time to let other people do it. You do it. Your turn. Okay. Happy New Year. I'm sorry this feels negative on some level. I don't want it to be negative.
I just want to say something. If that's okay.
Please.
In terms of, we don't want to be negative. I have a very dear friend who's very loving and very compassionate, very wise, and I've looked up to her for many years, and she moved to Arizona. She used to live in California. And we Zoomed. I don't know Zoom yet, but we didn't Skype, we Zoomed. And I told her that I'd just come back from New Zealand, and I'm just like, just so shocked, you know, with the elections and how upsetting it is to me. And she says, I voted for Trump. So I had this moment where my whole body just like contracted, and I didn't know how to be with that. I didn't know how to take that in. This is somebody I've been very close to. And so my values and, you know, who I am is, I thought was the same as hers. I mean, I really, really did. And I was just shattered. And I didn't know what to say. It was very difficult. And then we just had a discussion about other things. And at some point, it just felt like, you know, the elephant in the room. I just was like, well, I got to say something. And I said, you know, I just feel like he's so mentally unstable. I hope he doesn't blow up the world. I really pray that. And here, she's a very religious person. She's actually converted to Catholicism, and she's just like very, very religious. So I just said that I don't really pray to God up there, but I just pray that this does not happen. And then she said something about him, about creating jobs or something. It didn't make any sense to me, and I didn't know really what to say about that, so then we didn't talk about it anymore. But I got off the Zoom, and I thought, how do I hold this? This is somebody that I love, and I found myself feeling a distance, and I didn't feel good about that. And then she sent me a Christmas present. And I felt so bad that I, you know, so this is what's going on in my process. It's like how, you know, we're creating the us and them here. And we don't, I don't want to do that. I don't want to create separation with people who are different than me. I want to be open. I don't want to accept things that I don't accept, you know, my own values and my own beliefs, but I don't want to push my humanness away from people.
That's so a wonderful dilemma, and I think you express it beautifully. And like I say, there's no one-size-fits-all here. Everyone's got to figure this out for themselves. Yeah. The norm has been destroyed. The norm is not the norm anymore. What was is not what is. I mean, in the spiritual sense it is, but what we have been comfortable with has been broken apart. So how do we reassemble the pieces? Well, one of the great assembly pieces is love, the underlying of love, and you can still love this person and disagree with their belief system.
Yeah.
And it's a different level of awareness. You know, you have to look at them through a different lens. It's not a lens that destroys the relationship, but it will definitely affect the relationship because you will know that you see the world from two different places.
Yeah.
And, you know, and even question why you perhaps didn't realize that before. So, you know, these are all lessons that we have to learn. We're all going through it. Everybody is going through it. I mean, you know, we're Californians here, so we're an unusual, you know, bunch of people, and we don't tend to have the underlying awareness of, let's say, Middle America. But Middle America is big. It's not just flyover territory. It's real people with real needs and concerns who are educated in a different level of education than many of us have been educated. They have belief systems that we can see through perhaps on some level and they don't see through. I don't want to elevate the elite really, but one must find a way of balancing these things out, of coming to understand the other's principles. And we'll see where it goes. I think terrible decisions have been made in terms of the governing of our country. I think they're going to have terrible repercussions, and we're going to watch them unfold. Will they affect us individually on some level? Will they affect us day to day? A little bit, perhaps. The real thing is, can they touch the core of our truth? And the answer, I think, is no. They cannot. And find that truth and you will find stability and you will find a way to live your life that will be there in spite of whatever happens. So that's the most one can offer.
Okay. Now one more question here. Just if someone comes and asks you this question, which has been asked me, or been somebody asking me the same question, that if you always do meditation and chanting and trying, so this is basically you enriching yourself. They can say, well, just go out and do something for somebody else. What do you say to that?
Well, a little bit like the question with Hannah. You can't really go out and help people unless you have found this inner condition that is able to give and able to help. If you have found that, then you will be helping one way or the other, just in how you live your life. It's not always doing, it's often just being. So the idea that you have to go out and do is kind of your own mind giving you some kind of activity, you know, that you, and there's no reason you shouldn't do that, but you don't need to do that any more than just be who this enriched person is. And I don't see it so much as enrichment as it is a kind of, it's not an enrichment of the person, it is a freeing of the person from a limited ego, me, mine world into something thou and thy will be done world. You know, it's, we're moving into something bigger. And I think that's what's wanted here, and that you can help people in a million different ways, many of them by just showing up, just listening to them, just listening to what they have to say. It's not selfish. It's the opposite of selfish. And I think you learn that as you move along. You can be this, the person you want to be present in the world. You know, you can be a beautiful person in the world.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, guys. Thank you. Thank you all for coming. Class schedule is, you'll get it from Blanche, but onward. Thank you. Okay.